betting on Trump. We're not talking about the slots at a Trump casino. We're talking about the stock market. There's a new exchange-traded fund designed to track companies that stand to benefit from the Trump presidency. The ticker is MAGA, MAGA, which stands for Make America Great Again. It was created by Hal Lambert, the founder of Point Bridge Capital. He joins us now from Fort Worth, Texas. Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
You are a Republican. You've raised money for the party in the past. Where did the idea for an ETF come from?
Well, I guess a couple of things. We realize that many people desire a certain political outcome, but don't necessarily have the funds or want to spend the additional funds to contribute to political races. So many would rather invest in American markets to save for retirement and seek personal financial security. But, some of the conservative ideology is, and the Republican Party is, free markets, restraint of spending, that kind of thing, I think MAGA makes perfect sense for people. They can now invest in the markets and help achieve a political outcome.
Is this a spin on socially responsible investing? You know, people who pursue ETFs or mutual funds that exclude certain categories like, you know, oil and gas or alcohol or something. Is this sort of in that broad vein?
I guess you could say that. I'm calling this actually politically responsible investing. So yeah, I guess you would say that that there's a little bit similarity to that. And I think from this perspective of what people are trying to accomplish, it works well.
Tell me about your methodology here. How did you approach choosing the companies that would go into it?
Sure. So what I did was I took the S&P 500 and I screened the S&P 500 for the political contributions of the PACs, the political action committees, and the employees of each of the companies. And that data is reported to the Federal Election Commission here in the U.S., and that data is out there. So I screened the data and looked at the net contributions of those entities to Republicans versus Democrats, and then using a rules-based methodology, looked at and created a top 150 stocks within the index that are Republican-supporting.
And why did you choose that methodology? And I ask because some of those companies and some of those individuals may be making those donations to hedge their bets. They may have donated the equal amount to the other side. You don't have a way of knowing that, do you?
Sure. Yeah. No, in fact, we looked at that. And no, these are companies that are heavily supporting Republicans over Democrats. So that they may companies may give to both sides. But one side, they're giving a lot more to one side versus the other.
So you say politically responsible. Any idea what the expectation is for how the stocks inside this ETF will perform? I mean, I know that you cannot predict future returns, but did you backtest the portfolio?
We did backtest it, and we were not allowed from a regulatory standpoint to market backtested performance. But I feel very comfortable about what I saw, and I feel very comfortable about the stocks that are in the portfolio. You've got quite a few things like defense stocks, a lot of financials, energy stocks, you know, different industrials like Caterpillar, and it's a great basket of securities. And again, being 150 of the S&P 500, you know, the S&P 500 is a great index, so. When you start with that, you're going to start with some pretty solid companies to begin with.
So some of the stories that made headlines here, both in the campaign and afterwards, were things like the wall in the South. Are there construction companies or infrastructure companies in there?
Sure. I mean, Caterpillar being obviously an infrastructure play. You look at companies from the standpoint of the diversification of the portfolio. You know, it's about 22% industrials right now. So there's a lot of industrials in it. It's about 20% financials. So those are the two largest sectors within the index. And very little, so this is not for people that want to have a bunch of technology stocks because, as most people know, the technology companies in Silicon Valley are heavily Democrat supporting. And so those companies are not in the portfolio based on their Democratic contributions.
I was going to ask you about that. Does that then make it a value fund versus a growth fund? I mean, when you look at that makeup and apply that particular lens to it, would that characterize, sort of the investing style?
You know, that's it's a good question. I would say that people would probably certainly look at it more from that perspective than they would the perspective of a growth portfolio from growth stocks. Although I would say a lot of these stocks, you know, have done very well. The dividend yield in the portfolio is you know right around 2.4%. So it's got a great dividend yield versus the you know the S&P 500 has a lower dividend yield than that. But, you know, it's got companies like Home Depot in it. Home Depot is obviously you know a construction, or at least indirectly a construction company, because that's where a lot of construction companies buy their products.
Yeah. Yeah, and a huge company for all the natural disasters that the southern U.S. and Central America have been dealing with hurricanes and such, right?
Sure.
Now, how risky a strategy is this, do you think, investing in companies with political beliefs that are similar to yours?
Well, I'd put this in the category of, you know, obviously, it's obviously a stock or equity allocation. So people should certainly think of it from that perspective that, you know, if they're going to have an allocation to equities, I feel comfortable about the position of this. I mean, you've got 150 stocks, so, and they're equally weighted. So you're not going to have a massive amount in any one given stock, you know, one particular stock. So it should be able to hold up well with if there's one particular stock that does poorly. And from the perspective of the types of companies that are in here, I would put it in a category of I certainly would categorize this as kind of a core equity holding with the way it's positioned.
What has been your report card so far on the Trump presidency as it relates to the companies that are in this fund? So has he been moving the needle on things like financial regulation and infrastructure investment?
I'd say for you know, definitely been moving the needle on financial deregulation because there's been a lot of deregulation that he's been able to do on his own through executive action, and so I think the regulatory environment has been getting better, you know, every month, and that's beneficial to all companies. So I think I think that's one of the reasons you're continuing to see the market as a whole move up, is the regulatory environment is expected to get better. And then obviously we're looking at, you know, the tax cuts and whether or not, you know, the tax cuts are going to make it through in the next month or so. And then there's, of course, the healthcare debate that we had. But I think that's actually coming back up again. They're trying to get something else through potentially this month in Washington. All those things I think are beneficial if any of them can happen, at least the other two. I think the regulatory has already begun to happen, but from the standpoint of the healthcare and the taxes, I think either one of those would be very, very helpful overall.
With any investing story, there is always steak and sizzle, and it's sort of a combo of these two things. It would seem from up here north of the border that there is a lot of sizzle. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of stories, but relatively little legislative progress. Is that an accurate characterization?
You know, I'd say the big legislative, you know, thing that they tackled in the first part of this year was healthcare, and obviously they didn't make it through on that. I think they're going to revisit it, but I think there's, you know, there's a lot of things that can be done again just from the executive, you know, the White House, from a regulatory standpoint that's very, very helpful, whether it be on oil and gas regulations as well as, you know, financial regulations and other industries as well. So I think there's a lot of things going on, you know, that aren't really talked about much in the media. But the next big one, of course, is going to be taxes. And I think we'll get something done on that. And I think that's going to be good for stocks in the U.S. And I think it'll probably be good for stocks globally.
How would you describe your conservatism? Would you say you're a fiscal conservative, a social conservative, or both?
I'd probably put myself in the category of both.
And how does the social conservatism manifest itself in the portfolio? I mean, it's easier to make a bet on, you know, financial deregulation, good for banks, thumbs up. But what about on the social conservatism front?
Well, you know, really it is it's driven by the political contributions of the company. So obviously I don't have any say in what they're doing. They're making those decisions. We're using rules. A rules-based methodology. So, you know, if a company changes from one political, you know, contribution in one cycle to another, then they either could be added or taken out of the portfolio. So I wouldn't put this in the category of some sort of a values-based portfolio. It's not driven by that. There are, you know, there are some types of strategies out there. There are, let's say, you know, no tobacco or no firearms or no oil and gas. So there's different types of values type investing out there. This is purely, you know, politically driven, and policy, I think, then comes from what happens politically. So
yeah, I would argue that they're inextricably linked. I mean, someone who has a value for low taxes would that's a different value from someone who values the social safety net, if we were to magnify the difference on the spectrum.
Oh, I see. Well, you're saying that I see what you're saying. You're saying that values of one side versus values of the other side. You know, again, that's going to be driven by the values of the parties themselves, right? And so the political values within the Republican Party are going to be different than the political values of the Democrat Party in the U.S.
There are those who are not so enthusiastic. I don't need to tell you this. There are those who are not so enthusiastic about the Trump presidency so far. How do you feel about them shorting the ETF?
Hey, they can go right ahead and do it. The ETF is... it's highly liquid because the securities in it are very liquid. So, you know, if that's what people choose to do, then they could certainly choose to do that.
There are a lot of ETFs on the market right now. What asset level do you need to hit for this to be viable?
You know, it's already, I think, viable from that perspective. But I would say, you know, I think this has the ability to have quite a bit of assets in it. We're just now starting the fund just launched September 7th, and it's already trading up nicely. Right now I'm looking at my screen. It's at $25.62. It came out at 25. And so I think from the perspective of going forward, I'd love to see the assets continue to grow and grow. And I think there's a lot of room for this out there because there isn't another investment strategy like this in the market.
Very interesting. Hal, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Hal Lambert is the founder of PointBridge Capital, the company behind MAGA, which stands for Make America Great Again, an exchange-traded fund focused on the prospects for Trump's presidency.